room, so, you know, I didn't pull the dresser drawers open or anything. I want you to know that. So when I was having a little trouble getting to sleep at night, I thought I would see what was on the bookshelf. I haven't read a really good book lately. And there was one on the shelf that caught my eye. It was entitled Epicenter. It's by a man named Joel Rosenberger, and I want to highly recommend that if you are interested and what the Bible has to say about what's going on right now in our world and what's coming, I'd get the book. It's unbelievable. It's actually the best book on the future that I've ever read. It's very, very sound. It's not outlandish. And he takes a look at the scripture of the ancient Hebrew prophets, Ezekiel. This man is a Jew, grew up Jewish, and came to know Jesus Christ in a very personal way. He's had access to intelligence reports. He's been part of the government. And he studied the book of Ezekiel. He's had conversations with Arabs, Israelis, Iraqis, Iranians, and Russians in the highest places of power. And basically the book is like reading advanced intelligence. It's like intercepting some intelligence that gives you a tremendous inside look into what's going on right now. And the things that he has in there are uncanny. I read the book in 2 days. It's about 210 pages. I couldn't put it down. I really would encourage you to get it. If you're interested in the reliability of the Scripture, what the Bible has to tell us about these times, about the nation of Israel, how does Iran and Russia all of a sudden forming a nuclear pact for Russia to supply Iran with nuclear energy that most already believe they've already got nuclear weapons. If you wonder how that fits, get this book. It's an unbelievable read. Tonight I'm going to continue this series entitled Want God, Not Religion. And most of you have seen this little card, or you've seen our website, or you've seen a billboard around. And you know that our little slogan on our rock card is Want God, Not Religion. And there's a reason why we put that there. A lot of people have been intrigued by it and they've asked about it. So I thought, you know, it might be do a good idea if I did a series about it and explain why we have it there. Simply put, religion is man's attempt to make him. When I say man, I mean mankind. It's easier than saying it's human's attempt. I mean mankind. Mankind is male. Mankind is female. Just to clarify my terms. Religions are mankind's attempts to make themselves pleasing to God. It's mankind's attempt to appease a guilty conscience. And in every religion that you will find around the world, although each may describe God slightly different, you will discover that if you begin to look closely at the religious requirements, all of them require you to do things in order to make yourself acceptable to God. Whereas the Christian teaching, the teaching about Christ, is something vastly different. The Christian teaching that we find in the Bible tells us of God's love, God's personal love for every single man, woman, and child on the entire planet. And God's desire to have an intimate and personal relationship with each and every person. And the Bible tells us and reveals to us the person of Jesus Christ. And the role in which Jesus Christ played in allowing us to come into the presence of God. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I want to say before I start that this literally may be the most important thing that some of you have ever heard. For all of us, it is the most important thing we've ever heard and ever made a decision about. But there are many here who have already made this decision, who have already entered into a relationship with God. And I want you to ask yourself that question tonight as we're going through this message. Are you 100% confident that you know God in a personal way. And that God knows you in a personal way. Not God knows about you and not you know about God, but you know Him personally. It's a little bit like, I used this in an example last year. There's a lot of people that have Facebook friends. But there's nobody in this room that wants a Facebook marriage. Nobody. You want a human being that you live with, you go to bed with, you eat with, you go to work, you come home to, you go to things with for the rest of your life. You don't want a relationship with a screen. So there are a lot of people here that may have Facebook friends. And most of those people have real friends that they see on a regular basis. But when it comes to marriage, you're either married or you're not. But there's no one here who wants to pretend marriage. Religion is pretend. Religion is not the reality of having a personal, intimate, experiential relationship with God. Now, what I'm going to try to do tonight, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time tonight, but what I'm going to try to do is give you an understanding of the entire world. Why is the world the way it is? Why are there so many problems? Why are there so many difficulties? And why do we have so many problems? Why did so many of us grow up broken? Why are there so many hurts in the world? Why are there so many people hurting other people? Recently, in my neighborhood, I came home one day to find 5 police cars not far from my home. And there was an ambulance. And not wanting to make anyone uncomfortable, I didn't walk over and gawk. But I figured in the next couple of days I would find out what was happening in my own neighborhood. And sure enough, my wife ran into a neighbor at Lifetime Fitness. And she came up to my wife and said, "Did you hear what happened?" My wife said, "No." Well, the neighbor boyfriend pulled a gun on the neighbor girl and hit her in the head with the butt of the gun, threatened to kill her. Did you know the single biggest reason police officers get shot? Gang wars, drug wars, Dillinger's running the street? No. Domestic violence. Domestic violence. Domestic violence is the first and foremost reason, not the only, there are many, that police officers get injured on the job. The home, marriage, is a really dangerous place for many, many people. Life is a dangerous place, but why? Why? Why are there so many tears? Is there so much hurt? Is there so much loneliness? Is there so much emptiness? One reason. The Bible calls it sin. We are, as human beings, selfish. We are self-destructive. We have chosen to rebel against God. We rebel against God's laws. Now, it's of course a sliding scale. There are a lot of people in this room, probably no one in this room, who's ever murdered someone. Probably no one in this room has kidnapped someone. But again, there's a sliding scale of laws that God has given us that we can break. Don't lie. Don't have sex with someone you're not married to. Don't covet. Don't be jealous. Don't hate. We could go down the list, and there are a lot of those other kinds of things the Bible calls sin that all of us, including myself, are guilty of. We've done. This is one of the reasons why there is this almost innate, inbred desire for the divine, for religion. Because we're trying to find a way to feel better. The bottom line, to feel better. To cleanse the ugliness that all of us see inside of ourselves. We see it when we're honest. When we're really honest. And the entire world that we live in, every single man, woman, and child has rebelled against God. We've chosen, as the Bible says in Isaiah, we're like sheep and we've gone astray. And we've turned each of us to our own way. We go our own way. But God's love for us is so great. His love for us is so great that instead of deciding, you know what, had it with the human race, I'm just going to wipe them all off. I don't need them. Making planet Earth was a mistake. Look, Jesus, Spirit, angels, we can just live forever. We don't need these humans. You know, I'm going to be really honest with you. Let me share something with you really honestly. I don't think there's a person in this auditorium tonight that wants rats infested in their house. Now, you may have had a pet white one when you were a kid, but you don't want the wild kind running around your house. There's not a person in this room that wants bed bugs infestation in their house. There's not a person in this room that wants cockroach infestation in their house. Not one. Now, I'm going to be really frank with you. We are more despicable. We have brought more destruction on one another and other human beings, humans have, than all of the rats and the cockroaches and the bedbugs put together. And you know how we feel about those pests, those vermins. We destroy them. What has kept God from destroying us? You ever ask yourself that question? Now maybe you're not very worldly wise. Maybe you don't know what Stalin did, what the communists did systematically, what Pol Pot did in the killing fields of Vietnam. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know what's happening right now in Darfur or the Sudan. Maybe you just put your head in the sand to all the child prostitution and the sex trafficking and the human slavery going around the world. Maybe you just put your head in the sand. But if you pull it out and look, you realize that the human race is despicable. Then if you look at the sanitized suburbs of America, you find jealousy, hate, greed, selfishness, adultery, fornication, immorality of every kind. You find it. It's there. You just lift up the rock. You pull back the curtain. It's there. It's been in all of our lives in one degree or another. Not only did God not destroy this world, but He loves this world. He loves human beings. Every single person, you, me, your mother, your father, your aunts, your uncles, your relatives, your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, all of them. He loves them all. He loves them so much that God entered our history. That God came in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, for the sole purpose, listen very carefully to this, for God the Father to judge Him for our wrongs, to pay for our wrongs, so that He could be this bridge, this liaison, this olive branch, this peacemaker between us and God. So that we could have a relationship, so that we could be completely and totally forgiven. There's a couple passages here that I'd like to read to you tonight from the Bible. And I'm reading from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 21. But God has now shown us a new way of being right in His eyes. Not by obeying all the laws, but by the way promised in the Scripture long ago. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in this same way, no matter who we are or what we have done. For all have sinned. Every man, every woman, every child, all of us have sinned. All of us fall short of God's standard of perfection. Yet now, God in His gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's justice against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed His blood, sacrificing His life for us. God was being entirely fair when He punished Christ. And it is entirely fair and just in this present time that He declares sinners to be right in His sight because they believe in Jesus Christ. God not only went to all the trouble to create this world, to bring you and I into this world. I shared with you last week, you can go read it yourself, in Psalm 139. You are handmade by God. You are not just a cosmic accident. You are not some biological blob. You are an eternal living being whom God loves and God cares about. And He brought you into this world. He knows everything about you. And He brought you, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, He placed you in the exact family you would be born, in the exact state, in the exact place today, at the exact time in history, that you would have the best chance to grope for God and find Him. You remember the song Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. That's why we had to grope. We've been going through this world blinded by our sin, blinded by our pride, blinded by self. And God is not far, the Bible tells us, from any of us. He's not far. He's waiting for us to call out. He's waiting for us to understand. He's waiting for us to come to the point that we give up self and we give up our pride and we recognize there's nothing I or you or anyone else can do to please God on their own. Christ did it. Christ did it, the Bible tells us, with His blood. That it's His blood that takes away our sin. You probably noticed on this stage, I'm not going to comment on a lot tonight, but I ordered these hides. If you don't like them, it's my fault. You can blame me. But I like them a lot. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that the blood of bulls can never take away our sin. You see, all through the Old Testament, they would come to the temple and they would sacrifice the blood of bulls. Symbolically foretelling the perfect Lamb of God who died upon the cross. And it's only that blood that can buy your freedom. It's only that blood. Your blood cannot. Your confessions cannot. Your wonderful deeds cannot. The only way you can have a relationship with God, the only way you can start a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. And Christ offers that to anyone. The Bible says in Romans, this will be the last passage I read tonight, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore we have been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand and we confidently, joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory, God's heaven for all eternity. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. No one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die if a person's especially good. But God showed His great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were still at our worst. And since we've been made right in Christ's God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's judgment. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by His life. So now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what Christ has done for us in making us friends and family with God. You see, we come to God by faith. And I want to explain to you what faith means. Any person that's ever gotten married took a huge step of faith. I want to explain why I say that. You think you know that person. You think they're going to keep their word. You think that they're going to keep their vows. But you took a huge leap of faith because they're only a human being and you can't see into tomorrow, and you decided when you walked down that aisle and you said, I do, I'm going to step out in faith and join my life with you. You acted upon a belief. I can trust this person. I love this person and this person loves me, and you took a step of faith. Now you and I know, maybe you don't know, that there are many marriages that don't make it. And many that do, there's struggles. When you come to Jesus Christ, you're not just trusting in some mystical spirit somewhere. Christ came into this world. We divide our history by B.C. and A.D. It's all about Christ. We celebrate Christmas all about Christ. We celebrate Easter all about Christ. By the way, way before Islam came to Turkey, Christ was in Turkey. The early apostles brought the message of Christ to the entire Mediterranean and Roman world. Because Christ lived and died and rose again. And He's living today. And He wants a relationship with you. And He wants to come and live in your life. And He wants to forgive you for your sin. The only way that you can begin a relationship with God is to reach out by faith and take the free gift that God says He wants to give. It's a gift. It's not something you work for. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you can be good enough for. It's not something you can say enough Hail Marys or go to confession enough or do enough penance to receive. It's not you progressing, working, and reaching a higher state of consciousness. It's you recognizing, you know what? I am what God says I am. I'm a sinner, but God loves me. And I want to acknowledge to God I've sinned against God. And I need His Son, and I want His Son, and I believe His Son died for me. And the Bible tells us it's with the heart that man believes, not just with the head. So you can have the experiential knowledge that marriage is an institution, that people get married, but it's not until you walk that aisle yourself and you say, I do, that you are married. The same is true with Christ. It's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of reaching out to God as He reaches out to you. There is no more important decision than you will ever make in your life. And I'd like you to bow your heads with me tonight. And I want to give you the opportunity. God wants to give the opportunity to begin a relationship with Him. You see, anyone who begins a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's something you need to understand, a couple things you need to understand. When you say to Christ, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you died for me. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I ask you to come forgive my sin. I believe that your blood can cleanse me from my sin. Amazing things happen. First of all, Christ comes and lives inside of you. You are what the Bible calls born again. You are born the first time through your mother's womb. But that's only a physical birth. We're talking about a spiritual birth. The most important kind of birth. Christ comes and lives in you and He'll never, ever leave. And you become a brand new person on the inside. And no matter what happens in your future, when you die, when you no longer live, this body no longer functions, you will spend forever with Christ. You'll spend forever in eternity in heaven with God, with all others from around the world who've also embraced Christ through all of the centuries. And you won't be floating on a cloud playing a harp. You won't be a spirit without a body. You'll have a brand new body that will never grow old, that will never get sick, that will never get tired, that will never be diseased. And you'll be in a place that God has made just for you. Look at what God made the first time. And if you've ever seen the BBC's Planet Earth, it is awe-inspiring, mind-blowing what God made for the humans. What do you think God is making for His children. It will be more glorious, and you will spend all of eternity hiking through it, looking at it, experiencing it with all those who love God, with all those who have embraced God. Not only is your eternity secure, but in your day-to-day life, you have the most powerful being in the universe who knows everything, who always does good, who will always keep His promises, who listens to your prayers, who answers our prayers, working in your life. You no longer have to be alone. You no longer face life in your own power. And you have the ability through Christ to love, to have joy, to have peace, to be faithful, to grow in self-control, and to become the person God intended you to be. So with your eyes closed, what I'd like you to do tonight, when we pray, God can hear us as if we're the only one talking to God. He's that big. He's that powerful. I mean, this ought to be graspable for you. Let me give you an example. Every one of us can log on to AOL from our own computer at the same time. If we can build a tacky little box that can handle 5 billion people or 100 million at the same time, trust me, God is bigger than the computers that we build. He can hear your prayer, my prayer, as if you're the only one talking to Him. And silently tonight, as I pray, I want you, if you do not know for sure, 100% sure, that you have a relationship with God that is personal, that's with Jesus Christ, and you know for certain, if I die tonight, I'm going to spend eternity with Christ. I know my sins are forgiven. If you don't know that, then I want you to just simply say, as I close in prayer tonight, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sin. I want to begin a relationship with You tonight. I believe that You died for my sin, and by faith I accept Your gift of life. Heavenly Father, I just thank You tonight for the extraordinary love, as we were singing about tonight, the extraordinary love of God. What an extraordinary gift, Lord, that You have given to us. I thank You, Lord, and I praise You for Your goodness. I thank You and I praise You for Your kindness. And I ask You, God, that You just rain down on us tonight. I ask You, God, that You touch each and every heart. I ask You, Lord, that You bless each and every person here this evening. And I ask You, Lord, that if any one individual does not know You tonight, they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here. I really appreciate you being here this evening. And if you want to join us downstairs for refreshments, love to get to know you. Thank you.
You see the smile that's on my mouth. It's hiding the words that don't come out. I'm blessed. They don't know my head is a mess. No, they don't know who I really am. And they don't know what I've been through like you do. And I was made for You.
tell you where you need to go. I'll tell you when you need to leave. I'll tell you what you need to know. I'll tell you.